Thanks, Damo. Thanks very much.
Oh, mate, I've to be honest with you, I've tried to track your number down in a few different areas, and it turns out you only work across the road from me. So it's where a lot of people think that you were recruited to Imperials from out of the district, and you've told me you're actually born and raised in the area and lived in Robinvale.
Yeah, I was born in Robinvale in 64, and I wasn't there for a long time. I actually went away to boarding school in sort of year nine, and was down in Ballarat for 3 years, then worked in a gap year around the country for a year, and then went to uni for 4 years, and then I came back. So I was away, probably 8-9 years I was away from Mildura. So a lot of people did think I came from Ballarat, but no, I was a Robinvale boy.
How'd you go down in Ballarat? It'll have to be one of the coldest places on the planet, Tony.
Yeah, I didn't mind. I think when you're young, you don't feel the cold. You just live a little bit differently. I felt for the people that used to come and watch us play footy. It was all right being an on-baller in Ballarat. I wouldn't have liked to be a full forward or a full back on some days.
No.
On-balling was all right. You were always on the move and kept pretty warm, and then you just socialised inside.
Yeah, well, you were talking off air that your football was never the be-all and end-all for you. You were concentrating on getting a career, which you've successfully done. You came back to the old stomping ground, and as I said to you off air, Tony, we used to watch you play football here in Mildura, and the mates and I would look at each other and go, how is this guy not playing AFL football? But like you said, it was never the be-all and end-all, and you had to commit yourself totally to it.
And to play that level even back, you know, in the VFL days in the 80s and 90s, it really did have to be the most important thing in your life.
Yep.
Excuse me. And to me, mine was about, getting a career, and I thought I was a bit younger back then. If I probably had a mature head on my shoulders, I might have a go at it. But I was pretty keen to get a degree and then use that when I completed that degree.
So you've come home to the district. Yep. You've played one senior game in 82 under the late Mike Bowden for a taste of it.
Yeah, like my brother, older brother, played at Imps from 76 through to the 80s, and I was a young bloke just home from school on holidays, and Mike Bowden, I played a few games out at Carling Carwinna, and Mike Bowden encouraged me to come in and play a game.
And the rest is history, Tony. You weren't there in 86, you're in Ballarat when they won their, the 86 was really the start of the big Imperials run, wasn't it?
Yeah, Crossy come across from Redcliffs and really set some behaviours that he knew there were talented imps, but they just didn't have the commitment or the approach to win finals footy. And he introduced that along with Peter Maloney, his president, and no doubt a lot of other people at the club at the time.
I knew Mark to speak to off the ground. I never played football with him. I was always out at Merbein having a kick, but he was a hard taskmaster, wasn't he? But tough but fair guy.
Yeah, very tough. Very had a high footy IQ as well. That impressed me when I first met him. But across that white line, he didn't take any prisoners. It was very much win, and you're there to win games, and he enjoyed winning sport. And he drove the group, and Seven Well, I was there. I came along the next year and was assistant coach with Mark, and he was good to learn off, he didn't take any prisoners on the ground.
When I go back to that side, you're actually talking about that era in the late 80s and 90s, and you know, the Phil Nashes and Jamie Barham and yourself and Mick Gilmore and Wayne Main and the list, Greg Herrick, the list goes on and on and on. You're a formidable football team, and if a guy like that, and it's yourself an assistant coach, I'm not surprised all the success followed.
Yeah, we were like at 86, I think they came from nowhere, middle of the year, and we're a very good side anyway. And then the next year, and that can happen sometimes in footy clubs, I think Mick Hogarth came back from Sturt, Paul back from Sturt, and I came from Melbourne. So all of a sudden, basically, we were the starting lineup in the midfield and sort of averaged 30 or 40 touches. So you're sort of picking up 120 midfield possessions in 1 year.
Yeah.
We went 87 through to late in 88 before we lost another game. I think we won about 39 games in a row. So, yeah, there was a powerful side in both the seniors and the reserves through that 87 period to 88.
We talked off air, Tony. 15 grand finals, 10 flags, 4 losses and a draw. Yeah, a lot of blokes dream about just playing in one. Do you ever sit back and think it's an amazing achievement?
It was. I was fortunate to come into a good organisation. It was well led off field and had set behaviours on field. And yeah, it was just I took over coaching in 89, and we lost our first grand final, Robin Bowl, by 7 points. I thought I might get the sack here.
Oh, I remember that the day Greg Dax ran amok, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Yep. He sort of run into Pico, and we only had one ruckman. And,
yep.
But you learn from your lessons. I never went into another grand final until 96 when I thought we went in with one ruckman again, and we lost that by a couple of points. So for a similar reason, both of them, main ruckman got hurt early in the game. But we won those early ones with very powerful, mature footballers, and then in 92, all of those guys retired. There was only a few of us left in that sort of late 20s bracket, but with some of those guys that came through that obviously went on to play Sandful and other levels of footy, we built a young group that won, 92, 3, 4 and 5. Went on it was pretty good times.
You went on and played till you're 41, Tony. I remember, and you were like the Craig Bradley of the SFL, basically. Your form still warranted you getting a senior match at 41 years old. That's something you must be pretty proud of.
Yeah, it was, and I always maintained that if I wasn't, I always thought I was sort of in the best 10 or 12, and if I ever got beyond that, I'd step aside for a young person to take my spot. I wasn't going to hang on and sit on the bench. And we had some really, coaches came in and I was asked to go out of the midfield and go to the back flank, and which helped extend my career a lot.
Yep.
I was able to sort of do the kicking out and use your experience. And I always, always got, in those later years, I probably got the forward that was least likely to get a kick to them, and I was sort of that loose running back, if you like. So that extended my career. There wasn't any collisions. And stuff, I always loved being fit. In the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, when I got here, I was exceptionally fit from a number of people who I've come across in Melbourne and Ballarat who taught me how to do that. My body, and being a small bloke, I never had the knee issues or ankle issues. Had back issues, as every footballer does, I was lucky to keep sound all the way through.
It's a lot of people in St. Rage, you're from your Imperials football days, but I'm not just saying it to you because I'm interviewing you once again, but you're a very, very accomplished cricketer as well at first division level, and you're still having a hit now in seconds for Golgol.
Yeah. I played in 3 first division premierships with Golgol. I started with him, Mick Hogarth, and was an exceptional cricketer in 87 when I came here, so Mick encouraged me to go to Workers, what was Workers then, and
yep.
I played with him till 97, and then we won a couple of flags through that period, and then my body was sort of, I've been playing back-to-back footy and cricket for about 20 years, and I had 3 young boys, so something had to give, so I retired from cricket in 97, and didn't come back to it until Andrew Banks encouraged me to come back playing once I retired from footy, and then was lucky enough to get play in another first division flag in 2010-11. Obviously I love the game and it's a game you can play when you're older. So I'm continuing to play and pass on a bit of knowledge through the club there.
When you look back on your football career, captain, coach of 6 flags, 10 in all. Have you got a favourite, Tony? Would it be your first one as captain coach, or is there one that really stands out to you?
Oh, it's amazing what the grand, if you talk grand finals, the ones that stand out, the ones you lose. So they're all quite different. 90 was really a redemption thing. I was never more nervous before that game because we'd lost one the year before. We should never have lost.
Yeah.
I believe we were never going to lose that. But Redcliffe had some powerful sides then when Trevor Larkins and those guys were coaching. Phil Egan and those players
around.
But then, so we won that one, and that was fantastic. And then we lost the next year with an ageing group. So 92 was probably when I really started to coach well and took a young group from fourth through to win the grand final against a powerful Redcliffe side again. And then from there, those guys just matured and got better and better and better, and we won four in a row. But that 92 one was very special because it was such a young underdog group.
It was.
We beat Mervyn in the pouring rain at it on their home deck. And
copped
a distracted Mildura the next week, and then Redcliffe sort of, I think, got 20 points up against us at half time in 92, but we were able to get over them, and it was just so that was special. But and then Robbo in 99, win by a couple of points. Mervyn, Orimple in 05, win by a point.
Yeah, that was a ripper.
Yeah.
I remember the game you're talking about. I remember that one at Kenny Park in the pouring rain. A little brother played in that final against you, and he said after the game, I think they're going to go on and win the premiership.
Yeah.
And you did, so that was when...
Young guys who were probably really just out of under-17s in the April, but by the September, they were really developing into strong footballers.
They showed that day, Tony. That was when Mervyn was under Peter Johns, and they'd recruited well, and they'd been playing good football all year. And I thought if anyone was going to go into a final favourite for the first time in years, it'd probably be the Pies. But
yeah.
Gee whiz, you guys, you said, by that time of the year, you'd matured into a solid senior football team.
Yeah, guys came of age that day. I think they got confidence that they could play at a finals level, and got on a bit of a roll, and we got home that year, which really then started. And then from there on, every year we'd lose five players. It's sort of a natural, it was just about five players would move on or drop form, and
yep.
Then we're able to pick up, people like Phil Bradmore and Larks came over, and various people came to the club through that time. So we were able to maintain our standards.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony. As an observer, a guy that played football out at Mervyn till his early 30s and has followed the sport forever, it appeared to me as though if you'd been a long-time Imperials footballer and you wanted a clearance from the club, it seemed to us from the outside that Imperials would clear you pretty easily because they'd always know that one day you'd come back to them. Is that sort of the way they looked at things?
Yeah, we tried to build a place where people were treated fairly and but it was hard work. Wasn't a place where you could just come and relax so it was intense. I've gotten particularly probably when Crossy and I were coaching through that period, but you sort of could say if you want to play finals, you want to have good fun and you want to win, do the work and it'll come about. And players would wear out from that and then maybe go away, but then say, geez, I want to go back and have another crack at that.
Exactly.
And it's being much larger group now. I'm still involved and the Sun still plays there. But
yep.
With netball and the clubs have got much bigger. When we were quite a small club in comparison. You felt everyone had your back and everyone wanted you to succeed. And so being a smaller group, we just felt a bit closer, I guess. And winning helps that culture as well. People buy into whatever the leaders are sort of leading with, and because it's been proven to be successful. So, we did have a few go away and a few come back, and we had a few people, that were sacked from clubs that were able to, interview and say, well, we think you fit our model. Do you want to come and play with us? And once they played with us, they were, welcomed with open arms.
Yeah. No, it always seemed, from the outside looking in, it was always seemed like such a professionally run club, and I played from under eights through to reserves at Mervyn and retired at 31. I never played in a team that beat Imperials at any junior or senior standard of footy. And it was the club you were. And the juniors you produced that played in premierships at under 15s and under 17s went on and played senior flags with you. You're an amazing footy club in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it was. And as you say, really well led off. The president was never there for his own ego. He was there as a custodian of that role for a couple of years and then would hand the baton on, because that's a job as big as a coach, if not bigger.
Yeah.
Managing a footy club and making sure everyone's included and happy and getting what they need to out of a community footy club. But exceptionally well led. led, and it's probably why I never left. I often wanted to test myself with another club, but you know, it was just such a good place to be. My brothers were there,
yeah.
And, so it was just, had a lot of friends there, still do, and so I've always, yeah, I was, you know, contemplated leaving to see if you could do it at another place, but anyway, I'm happy I stayed.
Exactly right. Are you going to pull the pads on again this year?
Yeah, I'm having a run, I've been training, so I did do my Achilles last December, but that's been repaired, and so I've been ready to play cricket. I play in the South Australian over 50s team, so I've been ready to play since about September when the competition over there kicked off, but for obvious reasons, haven't been able to get over there. But now, yeah. I think we kick off in early November, so I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely, Tony. Let's hope that that South Australian border opens, you get back over, and let's hope the SCA get back on the ground in early November and have an uninterrupted year. I'm almost out of time. It's been great to catch up with you this afternoon, and mate, it's a walk back down memory lane for me because I was playing football when you were at your peak. It's been a bit of a buzz, actually.
No worries. Thanks very much for the opportunity, and all the best.
No worries, Tony. You stay safe and fit, and we'll let's see if you can make a couple of centuries this year in second division, hey?
If not, get a few wickets. I'm probably more a bowler than a bat at the moment. But yeah.
Are you really? You were always more of a batsman, weren't you?
Yeah. I used to bat high, but yeah. Still swing the ball all right now, which, I'm probably an all-rounder as I was back then.
Well, Jesus, I hope the English cricket team didn't hear that. The old Aussies don't like the swinging ball, do they?
No.
Tony, it's been great to catch up with you. You stay busy, and hopefully we'll chat again soon.
Right. Thanks, mate. See you, Damon.